The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.
Now, before we discuss whether it's appropriate or not for Ireland to be attending and competing in this year's Eurovision Song Contest, let's hear a clip of Ireland's entry as announced today. The song is called 22. It's by Sarah McTernan.
I see 22, oh, and I think of you. Lately, that's all I do. Don't you know that I'm always driving by. Wanna come home to you. Oh, I know. I've always been afraid to say how I feel, but that's got to change. Every time I'm with somebody, I'm confusing him with you. Anywhere I go reminds me of the things we used to do. And I dreamed about the street where we kissed out of the blue with your house. Now I'm a 22.
So there you are, that's some of Ireland's entry to this year's Eurovision Song Contest, which of course is to be held in Israel, which is a source of some controversy. And the Palestinian Rights Campaign, and we have its spokesperson Zoe Lawler with us, because you have a petition which you presented on RT today, calling on RT to do what, please?
Our petition, which we handed in a further 5,500 signatures today, is calling on RTE and any performers, which we now know as Sarah McTernan, and any workers not to participate in the Eurovision in Israel this year, and to heed the call from Palestinian civil society to boycott the Eurovision.
Why?
Because of Israel's war crimes, its oppression of the Palestinian people, because of the apartheid nature of the state, and because Palestinian civil society has called for a boycott since 2005 of Israel. And obviously, as the Ireland-Palestine Solidarity Campaign, we support that boycott. And we don't feel it's appropriate for our state broadcaster or for any Irish artist to perform just down the road from where Palestinians are being shot down in Gaza while they're protesting for their legally guaranteed right of return, refugees protesting.
But Israel is a country with whom we have continued diplomatic relations. We have an ambassador in Tel Aviv. They have an ambassador here in Dublin. Despite the list of alleged crimes that you have given us, Ireland still remains a friendly state with Israel. And so in those circumstances, why should we boycott the Eurovision Song Contest?
Well, I mean, states often don't represent what the majority of people want. There's huge broad support in Ireland for the Palestinian struggle and for the recognition of Israel's crimes against Palestinian people. And like, as to whether these crimes are alleged or not, last week a UN Commission of Inquiry found that Israel had likely committed war crimes with its killing of 183 people, including 35 children in Gaza last year. So even if a state, and we would call on the Irish state obviously to sanction Israel and not to have normalised relations, but certainly as civil society movement ourselves, we support a boycott of Israel.
But if you're claiming such enormous support and majority support, why do you only have 16,500 signatures?
Well, it's over 17,000. I would consider that quite a lot. But I mean, if you see when, you know, there are large Israeli military assaults on Gaza, for example, there are thousands of people on the streets in Ireland. And I do think even today at the protest, people were beeping their horns all the time. There is broad support in Ireland for Palestine.
Okay, let's bring in Paul Jordan, who is a Eurovision expert. The history of boycotts of Eurovision, is anyone apart from Ireland even considering the possibility of boycotting this event in Israel, which is not the first time either that a Eurovision is to be held in Israel?
No, so this will be the third time that Israel has hosted the contest, the last time being back in 1999 when it was in Jerusalem. There are wider calls across Europe. There is a small movement even in the UK, but also probably Iceland is the most predominantly anti-Israel participant in Eurovision this year. Their group plans to make political points, I think, during the events, and will be raising certain issues, I'm sure, as they have done in the run-up to the contest. So I think there is definitely a movement there. But at the same time, it isn't a political event. It's a TV show. And I think we also need to remember that as well.
Okay, but have there been cases previously of politically inspired boycotts of Eurovisions because of the location chosen to host the event?
Yes, so these calls are actually nothing new. We had it back in 2012 when it was hosted in Azerbaijan. There were people who were calling for the contest to be boycotted because of human rights abuses going on in the country. And in 2009 as well, when it was staged in Russia, there were concerns from LGBT groups that the contest was going to be used as a platform for Russia, and they wanted to actually highlight the fact that there are a lot of gay people in the country that are suffering. So this is not the first time we've had these calls, but countries still participated in the event. They didn't actually withdraw. In 2009, Georgia did withdraw, but that was to do with their entry, which was seen as political rather than actually anything to do with the Russian state.
But do host countries use these events as an opportunity to perhaps whitewash alleged crimes that they have carried out against their own citizens and others?
I think certainly it can be used as a platform for the nation state. It's a way of promoting a positive international image. Now, whether you want to call that whitewashing, that's an entirely different debate, I think. But certainly as a television show, it offers an opportunity to showcase the best of the country. Ireland has done that in the past. In the 90s, you did that amazingly well, and other countries have followed suit. Now, Israel will obviously be looking to promote a positive international image, but at the same time, it has brought up these issues, and I think it's really important that we're talking about them, and we wouldn't be talking about them if it wasn't for Israel hosting Eurovision.
Now, I go back to you to finish, Zoe Lawler, as spokesperson for the Palestinian Rights Campaign. It has been known for quite some time that you are taking this position. You have been vocal publicly, and yet RT today announced details of the entry of the song and the singer. We don't have any statement to hand from RT, but what has RT said to you in response to your protest?
Well, I mean, they have engaged in dialogue with us all along, and we did meet with Dee Forbes and the top people in RTE regarding Eurovision when we first handed in 11,000 signatures to the petition. And there is a recognition within RTE that there is a lot of support in Ireland for Palestine, and they also recognise that some workers may not wish to go to Israel on conscientious grounds, and they gave a commitment. The Director General of RTE, Dee Forbes, did that there would be no sanction on any employees who wish to conscientiously object to the Eurovision, but they continue to say that it's not a political event, and our argument is it's an explicitly political and militaristic event, and that's why we're calling for the boycott.
So in what way militaristic?
Can, the Israeli state broadcaster, has reserved 500 tickets for soldiers for the Israeli army for one of the rehearsals. So the Irish performer and other acts would be performing in front of the Israeli army. So that's obviously militaristic in its essence.
What do you make of that, Paul Lawler? Militaristic, if 500 tickets apparently have been reserved for a rehearsal for the Israeli army?
Well, again, this is nothing new. Back in 2004, when the contest was hosted in Istanbul, the army were drafted in for the rehearsals purely as an exercise in terms of making sure that the crowd were there, crowd control, but also to make sure that the rehearsal looked like the stadium was full. So I can't comment on the actual specifics, so I don't know too much about it, but I think this has probably also got more to do with actually logistics of actually having people in the hall for the rehearsals rather than any kind of military agenda. The European Broadcasting Union, who organised the event, are very clear on that. This is not a political event, and okay, They'll be making sure that Israel don't use it for those purposes.
Thank you very much, Paul Jordan, and Zoe Lawler, spokesperson for the Palestinian Rights Campaign.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper on Today FM.